Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Brilliant. Great, you can grab a seat. You guys doing good in Crawley?
Yeah.
Rohan's doing good. Anybody else doing good in Crawley? You're alive and kicking. Well, yesterday we had, as a family, we had an amazing day. Our second son, Toby, got married yesterday. And so it was an amazing day, quite emotional, as those sort of days are, both joyful, but also just kind of a bit overwhelming, and but a really amazing day. So two sons married, one daughter, not yet. Megan is here over there, but she's got a few years to go, so you can stay at home for a little while longer, and brilliant. How many of you know that we are living in interesting times? Interesting days. And what I'm going to share this morning is as for us as a church across all the congregations, is what we're going to be looking at over the next couple of months. And the theme is going to be light, as in, you know, being light. God is light. We are people of light, and therefore what does that look like in our lives? So we're going to have a mixture of what does it mean to be a person of light, what does it mean to be a people of light in the world, in and through our lives every day. What does it look like in the community, in the towns where we are? But then but we also want to help equip and put tools in our hands. How are we light to our friends and family and neighbors? How do we practically do that? So we want to this next couple of months to be quite an equipping time. And then there'll be a few Sundays that we're going to lob in here and there to really help, you know, invite friends to those kind of Sundays. And, because we're going to focus them on seeing our friends and family come to know Jesus. You up for that?
Yeah.
Cool. Brilliant. Are you awake, you guys? I got to bed at about 2:15 this morning. So after we'd finished, packed away, got home and actually got into bed. So, do your eyes ever feel just really saggy and baggy and all of that? I don't know if they look like that, but they feel like that this morning. So, I might chat a bit, might end up preaching a bit just to keep myself awake. Is that all right? Okay, a little bit of response this morning. You're doing all right? You're doing good? Just nudge the person next to you, check they're still alive or awake or whatever. Brilliant. So, we're going to look at being a people of light. Now, we live in interesting times. And there's two aspects to what's going on. There is darkness and there is light. And the way Holly led this morning was great. We didn't have a kind of confab during the week or anything. When I arrived this morning, she said, I've got a couple of scriptures about light. Is that in line with what you're going to bring? And I said, that's funny. We're going to be preaching about being light. And then the thing she led through. And we often pray for things to happen. We can pray for family. We can pray for our friends. We can pray for things to take place. But often what we don't necessarily do is really take authority over the things that stop things from happening. And we know what, you know, there's all kinds of things going on at the moment in society and around different issues of morality, sexuality. There's different challenges in terms of the way the country is going at the moment politically, Brexit, some of the terrorist stuff going on, another supposed bomb that was going to go off in the underground that didn't, and all these kind of things that are happening, the financial challenges that are still just under the surface, a make or break as a nation and everything, and there's a lot that's changing. We see nations rising against nations, and with North Korea and China and America, Russia, all the different conversations going on and embargoes happening and other wars and other nations rising against nations that we might not see very much on our kind of news feeds, but you only have to plug into a few others that are a bit more worldwide and maybe give a bit more of what's going on in the world than some of our BBC and Sky stuff does. And the world is kind of, the world is in trouble. The world is struggling. There's tension all over the place. And ultimately, we know that that is the consequence of people making choices But behind those choices, there are different things operating that are opposing the purposes of God on the earth, okay? So we're not talking about conspiracy theories this morning, what's behind everything going on and who's really moving and shaking the planet and making decisions. But we know behind people, there are spirits of darkness operating to control, to manipulate, to basically outwork what the enemy's plans, the devil's plans are on the earth to stop God's plans taking place and being outworked. As believers, we know that God is in charge. Can we all agree on that one? We believe that God is in charge. He's in control. He's Lord of heaven and earth. But he has also given mankind free will to choose. And in his sovereignty, he has done that. I know many people say, well, if God was really God, why is there so much suffering? If God was really God, why are there so many wars? A lot of it's the consequence of free will that man has, and people rise into power, wanting to control things or whatever it is. And so we know that darkness is operating in this world on a bigger scale. But also there's darkness operating on a smaller scale to come against you and I in our lives to, again, thwart the purposes of God taking place in us. When you look at Daniel chapter 1 in the Bible, if you know the story, then you'll kind of, maybe you've heard some of this before, but if you don't, in Daniel chapter 1, what happens is King Nebuchadnezzar, who was probably the most powerful king back then, Babylon, invaded Jerusalem and ransacked the city and took a lot of people into slavery and took them back to Babylon. And it says in chapter 1 that he took the young men, just young men and of noble character or from the nobility, as well as other young men. And it says he took them not into slavery, because if you're taken into slavery, you're going to react against it. Yes, no. But he didn't take them into slavery. He took them into his royal court, gave them 5-star accommodation, and gave them food and wine from the king's table. And they began to teach them the literature and the understanding, the culture of the Babylonian Empire at that time. And they were going to do that for 3 years. And after 3 years, the whole idea was to get these young guys to then serve in the Babylonian kingdom. And so, in one sense, that Nebuchadnezzar was quite wise, quite clever. He was like, if I can get these young guys on my side, if I seduce them, if I treat them well, if I give them stuff that appeals to them, that a nice lifestyle, nice food, the best that this kingdom has to offer, then they're going to think, actually, I quite like this. This is quite nice. I wouldn't mind serving this because I'm getting personal benefit. I'm really enjoying this. And so the king was quite wise. He wasn't an idiot in that moment. He thought, I'm going to get these guys to serve me. Why? Because he understood that the success of his kingdom was going to be about the young people that were coming up and what they were going to be like. And so if he wanted to have success from one generation to the next, he knew that he was going to have to train the next generation of people coming up who would then serve him on an ongoing basis that would strengthen his empire. Now, the enemy knows that if he can capture every generation that is rising, you know, that is growing up in the natural, if he can capture that generation, then in his mind, he's going to stop or hinder the purposes of God for another generation of time. And so the enemy, he does not care what people get into. He doesn't care whether they get into drugs. He doesn't care whether they get into pornography. He doesn't care whether they just get addicted to their games console. He doesn't mind if they get addicted to their job and their career and just making money. He doesn't care what they get into, what captivates somebody's heart, mind, and soul, as long as they do not step into their destiny with God. As long as they don't step into their purpose with God. As long as they don't discover that there is a God, that he wants them to know them and he has great plans for their life and destiny for their life. Excuse me. The devil doesn't care what we get into. So therefore, he tries to seduce every culture, every generation with stuff that then fills their lives and to put us on a bit of a quest, you know, for the next thing, the next hit, the next thing that I want, the next life, whatever it is. But yet in that story that about Daniel, there were four young guys amongst all of the guys of nobility that were being trained. Four young men. Daniel was one of them and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And even though the pressure of the moment that they were in was to conform and to fit in with that culture and everything that they were being seduced with that seemed appealing and likable, something on the inside was stronger than what was coming at them from the outside. And in that moment, it says that they resolved in their hearts not to defile themselves. Now, they'd already set the position of their heart and their lives before they were taken into captivity. So it wasn't that suddenly the pressure was on and they were being kind of, their identity was being changed and their names were being changed in a different culture. And suddenly they thought, hang on a minute, we don't like this. What are we going to do? There was already something going on in their lives that was stronger than what was going on around them. So when the pressure came, the strength of what was on the inside of them rose up and was stronger than the pressure on the outside. And they said, no, hang on a minute. We're not going to succumb to this. We're not going to be overcome by what is around us. We're not going to become victims of what we've been captured into. There's something stronger on the inside. And so they went to the guy that was in charge and they said, hey, would you just do a little bit of a test? We don't want to eat the food and the wine from the king's table. In that environment, it would have already been offered to false gods and other things before it was then eaten. That's why they're saying we don't want to defile ourselves. As Jewish young guys, they couldn't eat anything that had been offered to another god, okay? So that was the situation for them in that moment. And when they went to the king's official and said, hey, we don't want that. Why don't you try us on vegetables and water for 10 days and see how we get on? Now, that might not be the most appealing diet, you know, vegetables and water. It doesn't sound overly appealing to me. I don't know about you guys. There's got to be a bit of custard somewhere along the line in my diet with a bit of ginger cake with it or some apple crumble or something, you know, anybody like apple crumble and custard? Yeah, it's not a sin. It's all right. You can eat apple crumble and custard. And so the guy tested them for 10 days. At the end, it said they were more healthy and more nourished than all the other guys. And this probably didn't go down that well in this moment. But then what happened is the king's official took away all the choice food, it says, and wine from the king's table from all these young guys. And they all had to eat vegetables and drink water. Now, I don't know, you think about it. What did all of their mates think about it at that moment? They're probably thinking, look, Daniel, thanks a lot, mate. We were having a great time. The latest Beaujolais, all the whatever it is from the king's, you know, the food. And then suddenly we've got just water, tap water, and, you know, cabbage and carrots and tomatoes and, you know, and I don't know. Maybe sometimes in our lives as Christians, when we allow the strength of what we know is real on the inside of us rise up, maybe that's not a popular way to live. Maybe it's not the easiest choice to make. But yet, the choice they made, and it said they were more healthy and nourished than everybody else. But then what happened, it said God's favor went before them. And not only did the king's official that was over them change his mind towards them, it says that Daniel and his friends then had many more times the wisdom and understanding and ultimately ended up going before the king. And because of the king having dreams and only Daniel and his friends could interpret those dreams, the king ended up saying to the whole nation of Babylon, right, everybody has to bow the knee to the God of Daniel, Shadrach, Abednego, and the other guy is the three mates. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? So the enemy does not want any of us to step into our destiny, into the promises of God, the purposes of God. He doesn't want a generation of people that are alive now. Forget what age that is, but all of us that are alive now, this current generation of people alive right now, he doesn't want people to know God, find God, discover their purpose and all of that. He wants people to be captured and ensnared in anything. He doesn't care what it is, as long as they don't find their destiny in God, their purpose in God. And so there's darkness at work, there's light at work. Now, let's just go out. Holly said something as we were praying for the blue card. She was speaking about coming against the darkness and speaking, let there be light. Just think about Genesis chapter 1 for a minute. We're just giving a bit of a pictorial overview. Is that all right for a minute? And then we'll sort of land it in a few minutes. What took place at in the beginning of Genesis? It says here, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And then God said, what was the first thing that God said to the whole universe? Did he say, let there be man, let there be woman, let there be love, let there be peace, let there be glory, what did he say? The first thing he said was, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Have you ever wondered, have you ever read this story and thought, okay, he said, let there be light, and there was light. He separated the light from the darkness. Then you've got day and you've got night. That was the first day, evening and then morning. But yet the stars, the sun and the moon and the stars weren't created until day 4. So what was the light for the first 3 days? It was just God. He was light. So we don't actually need the sun, the moon and the stars in one sense, because God is light. He is the source of life. So day 3, the plants and the shrubs and the trees were created. Where do they get the light from? They got their light from who he is. Anything that has life needs light. Without light, things die. So you put a plant in a dark room, go there a few days later, it dies. Put flowers in a dark room, a few days later, they're gone. If you put somebody in a dark room, you switch the light off and they're in there for a few days. When you go back and see them, when you look, their skin responds to darkness and begins to shrivel a little bit. People shut down when they're in darkness because your body's created to live in light. When the sun comes out, how many of you love the sun coming out? And, you have to live by faith living in this country, don't you? Just for the weather. But when the sun is shining, what does it do? It brings out certain vitamins in your skin. Your skin's more healthy. Everybody seems to be a bit more, hey, how are you doing when the sun's out than when it's just grey and gloomy and all of that. People just want to get on and get home and put the fire on or whatever. But you know, when light, everybody comes out, they go to the beach, they hang out, they have barbecues. Why? Because light brings things out. So the light that was spoken, that brought life to the planet, the person who spoke that life, that light, is the one that is on the inside of us. So the one that said, let there be light, and there was, and he separated light from the darkness, we have the one who spoke that those words on the inside of us. So God didn't just want there to be light around us, he wanted that light to become part of who we are. So if life requires light, then our faith also requires light. So when God speaks, what happens? It's like when he speaks, life is released. Why? Because his word is his word is light to our lives and gives entrance to everything that he wants us to walk in. So when he speaks to us, it's like light is released. Life is released. So when he speaks, you have revelation, you have understanding. It's like the light goes on. So when God speaks, you're reading the word, or you're hearing the word, or you're studying the word, or in some way or other, and he speaks, and that revelation comes. It's like a light that goes on. What does that light do? It suddenly brings life to you, and something on the inside stands up, and you go, yeah, I've never seen that before. Yes, that's true. Why? Because suddenly it becomes light, life, revelation. And instead of sitting there going, what does that mean? Or I need an answer. Or, I need to know what you're saying, God. And he speaks and light comes in. Life gets released. And suddenly your head goes up and you go, that's it. God has spoken. And therefore then what comes out of your mouth is different because God has spoken. Something's happening on the inside of you. Light has come in. Life is being released. And then you begin to speak light and life is then released through your life around you. Anybody here this morning? Again, just nudge the person next to you. Say, it's great to see you. I'm glad you're alive. So what does Psalm 119, 105 say? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So God has called us to be people of light in a world that is full of darkness. So we could say about the world and any one of us before we knew Jesus that we were all, we thought we were living in light because we're alive naturally, but actually we're dead spiritually when we don't know God. So we're walking in darkness with our eyes open. And we think we're alive because we have natural life, because we have a job, we have family, we have this, we have that, we have whatever. And we think I'm living. But actually in terms of knowing God and God's purposes, until we know Jesus, until we have God in our lives, we're not really living, we're just existing on earth. And God wants his life to come into people so there it changes from an existence to a life that is being lived with the light of life on the inside, discovering our purpose, why we're here, why I'm alive, and why my life matters to God and to people on earth. Are you here today? So 1 John 1 verse 5 says, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. So darkness in the Bible is described often as sin. Sin is where there is an absent, God is absent. God is not there. There is no sin in God, as it says here. God is light. There is no darkness at all. No sin in him. So when light comes next to darkness, what happens? Light will always win. Light will always win. Some of you guys probably know this better than me. We got one or two guys in the Horsham congregation who are really into, you know, all the stars. They got telescopes and all that kind of stuff, and they're always looking in up that way. And light has to have something to reflect off to reveal things. So the sun, however hot it is in our galaxy, it's the only thing that has light. And all around the sun is darkness. It's space because there's nothing there to illuminate. Where there's the odd planet in our galaxy, we then can see it either naturally like the moon, for example, when, you know, depending on what it's doing around the earth, and we see it either in a little curve or a fall, depending on what's happening and how much of the sun is shining on it, through to other planets if we look through telescopes. But you can only see them because of the light of the sun. So if something can be reflected from the light of the sun, then God not only wants our lives to reflect him, but instead he said, I want to come into you so that you become light. So that you're not just trying to reflect the light of who I am to others, but I actually want to put the light of who I am on the inside so that every darkness that once controlled your life, affected your life, manipulated your life, or had an impact on your life, when the light of life comes on the inside of us, everything of darkness has to flee because the light of life comes on the inside of us. So what does light do? These are obvious things. Light shines in the darkness. When light shines in the darkness, it exposes the darkness. When darkness is exposed with light, the light then begins to overtake the darkness. And then as light overtakes the darkness, it begins to replace the darkness. So on one level, the lights are a little bit dim in here. So there's a mixture of, you know, it's a bit dim, it's a bit light. If we crank the lights up more and more, the room gets brighter and brighter, and therefore you'd be able to see. I said to my wife once, I said, it probably wasn't the best thing to say, but I said to her once, do we have loads of lamps just on in our lounge and not big lights so that it, you know, so that it's a bit dim so that we can't see the dust or all the skirting boards all around the lounge? That's probably not the best thing to say to your wife, is it? How many women would appreciate that comment from their husband? Not very much. But it's interesting, you know, you can have some lights on. Megan's smiling over there. You can have some lights on, but there's still things that can be hidden. But as you turn the light up, it exposes everything for what it is. And God is light. There is no darkness in Him whatsoever. And so He wants us to live as the people of light. Now, when light exposes darkness, it's not to condemn it, as in make somebody feel bad. It's to expose stuff so that then things can be dealt with, so that people can then live fully in the light. So we want to live as people of the light. What does Matthew 5, verse 14 and 16 say? The Bible says, you are light. You are the light of the world, a city on a hill which cannot be hidden. The word light there, you are light. That, the word that light, it's interesting when you look at these few verses. There's several different meanings for the word light here. But in verse 14, you are the light of the world. It means you are the shine, or you are the manifest light, or you are the illumination of the world. So when God speaks to us as His church, He doesn't just say, you know, you're a light like that up there, and maybe hopefully you'll shine a bit in the darkness. He says, no, you are the shine. You are the manifest light. You are the illumination of the world. Wow. Put it that way, and you can see the church is the illumination of the world. So that God wants to illuminate the whole world. He wants to light up the whole world with the light of who He is. Who does He do that through? You and I, because we are people of light. Is that right? The darkness wants to push us back. The darkness wants to suppress. The darkness wants to overcome. The darkness wants to make you feel insignificant. The darkness wants to say you'll never see all those things that are in your heart to see. The darkness wants to cause fear. The darkness wants to make us shrink back. But yet God says, no, you are the shine. You're the manifest light. You're the illumination of the world. You're a city on a hill which cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp. It means to set on fire a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand that gives light. And the word here means which, and it gives light which beams and radiates with brilliance to everyone in the house, to everyone in the place. In the same way, let your light be shine, or let your light be manifest, or let your light beam, it says here, before men, that they may see your good deeds and please your Father in heaven. We live in dark times, but yet God is raising up a people of light in dark times. So we're not coming against the system out there. What we're doing in terms of darkness is we have the authority as believers to come against the darkness that is behind all that stuff. We're coming against the darkness that controls and manipulates people's lives. And it's the light of who God is that what He wants to come in to replace that darkness. A few years ago, myself and one of the guys who used to work with me when we were doing the youth work years ago, we used to go into schools and colleges a lot. And we were in a sixth form college doing they called it a sixth form college conference or whatever. But they said to us, could you do, a session on issues of morality? So we were like, yeah, if you want. So we had all these sixth form students and we had them for a couple of hours and we asked them, what are morals? What are they? And so they started coming out with different answers, what morals are. And then we said, okay, so if they're morals, as in rights and wrongs and all that kind of stuff, who determines what is right and wrong? And so they were giving out answers. Well, you know, depends what it is. If it's just, you know, an argument between people, who's right and wrong about something, then, you know, you have to work that out. If it's something to do with the whole nation, then the government decides what's right and wrong. So they came out with all these different things. So who determines then? So we said, if morals are right and wrongs, and who decides what is right and wrong? So, and then we gave some examples. In the 50s, these things were completely unacceptable in society in terms of behavior, in terms of relationships, in terms of certain things. It was just frowned upon. But now, so 50 years later, 55 years later or whatever, these things are totally accepted now. Nobody even thinks twice about them. It's become the normal. So what's changed between then and now? Who's decided that change? And so they were like, well, people. Okay, are there laws now then that support how people want to live now that weren't laws then? And they were like, yeah. So we talked about some of those. So we said, so who determines actually some of the laws that are changed in the country? Is it politicians sitting in a room saying we're going to decide this and how people are going to live? Or is it how people choose to live that then ultimately gets the politicians to then make laws to support how society wants to live? And they were all like, right. So we said, so your life makes a difference. How you personally live. Do you think your life can affect the whole of society? Because at first they were saying, no, of course it doesn't, because the government decide everything. When we talked about all this lot, they realized actually you and me and how we live, if we all lived in the same way, would change society. And that's, we said, that's what's going on. And they began to realize, wow, hang on a minute. The way we live then actually can determine laws and change the way society is. And then it's enforced legally and things that then you're not allowed to do this. Not, you can't say certain things anymore because now it's a law and you can't upset people and all those different things that were going on. So we talked about morals and then we said, okay, what happens if there is a Bible? Because there is a God and there's a God in heaven who has certain morals that he wants to put in place because he knows if we live according to a certain way, then it's going to benefit each one of us personally, but benefit how we are together as society. So we then threw that out to them and started having a conversation about morality. If there was a line, if there was a plumb line, if there was somebody that was bigger than who we are, that knows ultimately what's best for us and what isn't. And actually, if we then follow these sets of principles that God had put in place, how would that affect society? Would it be any different? Would it be better or would it be worse? And it's interesting, as we went through this whole thing, they were saying, well, some of it I wouldn't necessarily like, but actually it would be far better because of the way we would all treat one another and be towards one another if we lived in the way that the Bible is saying, actually, this is how society could be. And it was amazing to watch and listen to the conversations, the opinions, the arguments even that came out when we looked at that. In that moment, what were we doing? We were shedding light in a complete darkness mindset. So light was coming in and they were beginning to realize actually light is better than darkness. If we live in the way that God wants, actually it's going to be far better than without him. So we're not the tail, we're the head. Our lives are not going to be governed by what's going on out there. So who defines us in our lives? Who's defining who we are? Who defines how we live? Who defines how we think? Are we just another organization? Is the church just another organization, another group that is along the line of all the other things that exist out there? Or is there something different about who we are as the Church of Jesus Christ on the earth, on this planet? Are you okay this morning? I know it might sound a bit, whoa, I was hoping to come for something a little bit more, I can grab that. But let's start where we're going. We'll land a lot of it over the next few weeks. Is that okay? Well, I just felt as a church, all congregations, we need to just kind of lift our heads a bit, see the bigger picture. What does it really mean to be the church, a people of light? So who is actually defining us? Well, as Christians, as the church, Christ defines us. God's Spirit in us defines who we are. God's covenant that he's made with us define who we are. The forgiveness that we have received because of how he is towards us, his mercy, defines who we are. What he did on the cross 2,000 years ago defines who we are. I no longer live, but it's Christ who lives in me. So we're not just another group, organization, or voice that is out there in a myriad of all the others. We are a people that are being defined by who Jesus Christ is. Are you with me? So living in a world of darkness, to be a people of light, then we need to live with clear conviction, with clarity and courage, to be who God has called us to be in a society that is fairly anti-godly things. So who are we in this culture that we live in this society? We are the light of the world. We are a city on a hill. We are a people of the word, a people of light. We are salt and light in this world. We are disciples, we are witnesses, and we are Christ followers. We are prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We are children of God. We are forgiven. We are free. We are favored. We are called. We are chosen. We are warriors and we are worshipers. We are history makers. We are the church of Jesus Christ, and the gates of hell shall not, will not, and cannot overcome us. Does anybody believe that this morning? That's who we are. And God wants us to live like that on a daily basis. You are the church. I am the church. We are the church. We are a people of light. And there is no darkness that can overcome a people of light. Can I get another amen from anybody else? Amen. Now we know the world is not interested in general in the things of God, because anything of darkness wants to keep away from light. We see that in various scriptures. John 1:4, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. John 3:19, light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that he has done, what he has done has been done through God. So you and I are people of light. Just turn to somebody else and say, you are light. Just say it again. You are light. Maybe just say to them, hey, you are the light of the world. You are a city on a hill. Just say, you're a person of the word. You are salt and light. You are a disciple. You are a witness. You are a Christ follower. You are a child of God. Just say, come on, let's preach to each other. You're forgiven. You're free. You are favored. You are called. You are chosen. Now say, look at me in the eye. You're a warrior and a worshiper. Now look and say, you are a history maker. And now say, you are the church. We are the church. And the gates of hell shall not, will not, cannot prevail against us. Anybody believe that in here this morning? Come on. So finally, Ephesians 5, verses 1 to 16. We're just going to read through these quickly. It's about living as children of light. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to him, to God. But among you, there must not be any, even not even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. There should be no... Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather be thankful, full of thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such as an idolater, has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore do not be partners with them. Listen to this. For you were once darkness. It doesn't just say once you were in darkness. It says, for you once were darkness. Wow. But now you are light in the Lord. It doesn't just say now you have some light. It says, now you are light. So once you were darkness, now you are light. And God wants that light to shine. Amen. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Now, when it talks about exposing them, like in this verse here, it doesn't mean point the finger. You know, I'm forgiven, I'm light, and I'm going to tell you where you're wrong. It doesn't mean to expose things like that. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds, but rather expose them. What does it mean in that context? It means as people of light, and as you live as a person of light, because of who you are and who you have on the inside of us, inside of our lives, the light of who God is will shine on other people, and how they're living will be exposed to them by the light, and they will then see their need to come out of that darkness and into the light. So when it says rather expose them, it means go and live as people of light in a dark world and let that light show people so they come under conviction, not condemnation, but they come under conviction realizing, wow, I need to be free from all the things that are holding my life because this light is bringing revelation, bringing understanding, showing me there is somebody that loves me, somebody that can set me free and somebody that can give me a completely new life. Anybody believe that today? Hey, come on. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. For everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. I love this last couple of verses. In the context of all that, okay, it then says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil or dark. Be very careful then how you live. So we want to be careful how we live. The decisions we make, the choices we make, the lifestyle that we live, how we are with one another. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. So when you live in the light, you live in God's wisdom. Is that right? If we want to be wise, how do we live as wise? We live in the light. If we live in the light, there is no darkness. Or we're not allowing any darkness to affect us. Your eyes are the entrance to what goes on in your body. Okay, we can listen to things, but what you look at feeds so much in our lives. And we want to be people that feed on light. We don't want to feed on stuff that then causes things to be hidden in our lives and causes stuff to go on. So it says, so we want to be wise, not unwise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Light and dark are going to become more and more obvious. Living as Christians in the culture that we are in the society that we live, is going to become more and more potentially challenging just to be a witness. I'm not being negative here. You can see the way things are going, right? So we're not here to take on this big system, you know, of government and politics, and we've got to change this and change that. God's called certain people to be in those environments, and that's where he's called them to be, to work and to have an effect, okay? But in our everyday lives, we're called here to impact people. And we come against the darkness that is controlling lives. We come against the darkness that's affecting the community, the town, and all that kind of stuff. So that when we overcome the enemy, when we deal with the enemy, when we come against the darkness, we can then pray for and release the light. So when God said, let there be light, light came. Then he separated light from the darkness. So what does light do? Light separates people from the darkness so they can then come into the light. That's what's happened in probably most of us in the room. The darkness has been separated. We now live in the light. Okay, there might be some stuff here or there that's not happening in the right way in our lives, but it's not necessarily because we're actively choosing to live that way. So we want to live in the light of who God is. There's other stuff that I've got to share, but we need to just pray, because of time. So do you want to stand? Let's stand together, shall we? Let's stand as people of light this morning. Thank you, Jesus. I've got a whole list of over 20 laws that have been passed since 1951 up to 2013 that predominantly, because of the way people were living, it then put pressure on the government to change laws or pass laws that then allowed certain things to take place. Everything from freedom in witchcraft and sorcery through to advertising and what is allowed in terms of adverts on the TV and the lack of clothes, all this, that and the other. The de-restriction on programs and what could be shown on television. There's things to do with abortion, things to do with sexual offences, things to do with divorce and marriage breakdown, abortion, things to do with laws that have been changed towards sexuality, towards gambling and all of that kind of stuff. And when you kind of go through all these things, you can see how one little thing in the 1950s, you know, a little thing here, then developed into a bigger thing later in that decade, which led into kind of more allowance. And as you can see, it's like, wow, if in 1951 they wanted to kind of do the same-sex marriage bill in 2013, they'd have all gone in 1951. What are you doing? What? Because the jump from there to there, if 65, 70 years ago, would have been like, you're nuts. It's not even a concept in people's minds. Yet now, it's taken for granted. It's like, well, what's the problem with it? It's just normal. It's not even a debate for most people, for a lot of people, you know, because something becomes normal. And so we're here not to settle for what becomes normal. We're here to believe and live for God's purposes on earth, in our lives, in our friends, in our families, in our community, in our nation. Amen. How many of you are here for that bigger purpose? And as we live in that way, God will take care of our daily lives, our daily needs. It doesn't mean we don't bring them to Him. But you know, when we seek first His kingdom and righteousness, it then says everything else will be added unto us. So let's just come before the Lord this morning for the next few minutes. Firstly, just thank Him that you're a person of light. Just thank Him that He's taken you out of darkness and placed you in light. Just thank Him. Thank you that I once was darkness, but now I am light. I don't just have your light, but I am light. Thank you that you say I'm the light of the world. I'm a city on a hill. Just thank Him. I'm a city on a hill. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I'm the light of the world. Thank you. I'm a city on a hill. Just thank Him. I'm a person of the word. Just thank Him for being salt and light. Thank Him that you're a witness. Thank Him that you're a Christ follower. Thank you that you saved me, that I'm now a Christ follower. Just thank Him that you're a child of God. Thank Him that you're forgiven, free and favored. Just maybe just lift your voice a little bit. Just express from your heart these words. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm a child of yours. I thank you I'm forgiven, I'm free, I'm favored. Thank you that I'm called and I'm chosen. Thank you, Jesus, for who I am in you. Thank you that I'm not somebody who's being shut down by darkness, but I'm the one. I thank you that my life is being defined by who you are. I thank you. I'm a victorious overcomer. Thank you. I'm a warrior and a worshiper. Thank you. I'm a history maker. Thank you. I'm not the tail, but I'm the head. Thank you. I'm not a victim, but I'm a victor. Thank you. I'm an overcomer. I thank you, Jesus. I don't have to live looking down, but I can live looking up. I thank you, Jesus, that you've lifted my head. I thank you my life no longer is under a cloud, but there's now an open heaven, open sky, as it were, with you, Jesus. I thank you and I praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, maybe what we need to do, if there's stuff that's coming against you at this moment in your life, situations that are causing angst and trouble and issues, whatever it is, what we're going to do, we're going to come against the darkness right now. We're going to resist that. We're going to say, that darkness is going to stop right now. Today, I'm serving notice on that darkness, that sickness, that the report, that situation, that difficulty, that challenge, that opposition, whatever you seem to be going through, whatever, that darkness is going to stop today. Amen. So you just need to release your faith right now. You need to speak into your own life, your own situations. As a believer, use that authority that you have and speak and command that darkness. Say, darkness, I come against you right now. Everything that you're seeking to overcome me with, I resist you right now, and I command that darkness to be gone in Jesus' name. I resist every darkness, every sickness, every lack, every fear, every opposition, every challenge, every difficulty. Right now, I come against you and I say, stop now in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to be overcome by you. I'm not going to be a victim. I'm not going to be on the negative receiving end. And I rise up right now in the name of Jesus and I say, enough is enough. And I say, darkness, stop and be dispelled right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Sickness, go from my body right now. Aches and pains, sicknesses, diagnosis, whatever it is, I command you to leave my body. I am not putting up with you any longer. Amen. Anybody got some faith in here to see God set you free from sickness this morning? Father, I thank you. I praise your name. Now just speak over your life. Let there be light. Let there be light in those situations right now. Just speak that wherever you are. Let there be light. I speak light into my life right now. I speak release into this situation. Father, I thank you for an end of what's been going on and the release of your light right now. I speak light. Let there be light in my body. Let there be light in this circumstance. Let there be light in my job. Let there be light in my home. Let there be light in my marriage. Let there be light in my family. Let there be light in my children. Let there be light in my workplace. Let there be light in my street. Let there be light in my neighbor's homes. Let there be light where there is no light. Let there be light in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for light being released. And when your light is released, your life is released into people's lives. So, Father, we thank you for life being released today. And that light and life overcomes every darkness. It has to flee in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes we just need to stir up the gift that is within us. We need to stir up that spirit of faith on the inside of us. We need to declare and speak. Just arouse the warrior that is on the inside of you. Just rouse. There's a rousing, if you like, of what's, you know, don't just sort of think, well, I'll just pray that quietly. I'll just do it. That's my style. Sometimes the Holy Spirit's style is different to yours and mine. Sometimes the Holy Spirit says, come on, rise up, warrior. Come on, right. Let that spirit of faith rise up. Let that spirit of overcoming rise up. Let that spirit of victory rise up. Don't just do it the way you normally do. Just let that faith rise up. So you're like, enough is enough. I'm not putting up with that any longer. Something, the sound of faith is rising up. Light and sound go together. Let there be light. There's sound. When God spoke, let there be light, I don't think it was silent. And something just went, bing. I reckon stuff moved. You know, when he was speaking creation into being, man, the sound of all of that going on. Plants coming up, trees suddenly growing and appearing. Mountains, growing up out of nothing and the seas being moved. I mean, what would the noise have been like? What would the sound of that been like where he looks at the earth and he says, I'm going to shift some of that landmass over there. I'm going to shift a bit more over there. I'm going to create some mountains there. I mean, the sound of it must have been awesome, must have been amazing. Why? Because when God speaks, things happen. Father, we thank you that you are the light of our lives. We thank you that you are the light of the church. And we thank you you've called us to be a light to the world. You've called us to be those that shine. You've called the church to be a body of people that illuminate the world with who you are. So, Father, I thank you that this week you're going to enable us to be light to our friends and our families, our neighbors, our work colleagues, those we're going to be around. That this week we're going to be people who illuminate the world with who you are. In amongst all the darkness, the fear, the news feeds and everything else we hear, we thank you that we can live through this week knowing that you're in charge. With peace on the inside, God is in control. I thank you that there's peace in that, victory in that. I thank you, Jesus. Praise your awesome name. Come on, let's thank the Lord, shall we? Just thank him for victory, for that overcoming in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. We can live like this daily in our lives. Amen. Just turn to somebody next to you. You are not a victim. You are a victor. Just tell him, you're an overcomer. Encourage him. Live like an overcomer. Be an overcomer this week. Be light this week. And one way that we can be light, especially guys, we're doing this across the church. The first Saturday of October, we're kind of doing a life discovery day, which is a place where there's go-karting, mud carts, quad biking, canoeing, jet skiing, all that sort of stuff. And it's an opportunity to bring an unsafe mate along for the day. The gospel will be shared in a really relevant way through the day in different ways. But this is a brilliant opportunity to invite somebody. So the first Saturday of October is only a couple of weeks away. And so we've got quite a few places on that day as a church to bring people. And so it's an opportunity to bring people into a place where they're going to hear about the light. Yeah. So maybe have a think and a pray. There's loads of these leaflets out in the foyer area, so you can grab those, particularly if you're blokes. It doesn't just have to be, but we kind of been doing it as part of the men's stuff going on. So you can grab that afterwards. But let's be light this week, shall we? Yeah. Just be light. You know, when you praise God and worship, what's going on? Light gets released. When you worship, the light of life gets released. When you're walking down the street, you might not see yourself as a person of light, but you're walking down the street and light is emanating from you. Why? Because you're a child of the light. When you're driving along in your car, you might just think, well, I'm just going down the A23 or whatever it is. But in, you know, spiritually what's going on, your car is illuminating everything around you. There might be loads of other cars that are just cars going along, but then yours comes along and it's like, man, the enemy sees there's a believer. There's somebody who's full of light. Oh, you know, And when we're living as people of light, he's like, man, I don't want to go anywhere near them because the light overcomes everything that I do. How many believe that? So when you're lying under that duvet and you go to bed and you're just lying there, light is emanating from underneath the duvet in your room. When you're eating your cornflakes in the morning, light is emanating out of your kitchen, out into the garden and everywhere else. Why? Because that light cannot be contained. The light of who Jesus is in us cannot be restricted. Are we in this together? You are a person of light, and that light overcomes the darkness. And everybody said, amen, amen. Bless you. Have a great week. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.